God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. During these midweek Advent services, we will be looking at Isaiah's picture of the Christ. Tonight, we focus on the Christ being the Son of David. Why is it necessary for Jesus the Christ to be the Son of David? Hear the words of 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the sons of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him. As I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This was God's promise to David, that yes, his own son, not the next generation, but generations down the line, would be the Messiah, the Christ. Why is it necessary for Jesus the Christ to be the Son of David? Because God promised it. Now, that may sound a little trivial, but keep in mind that God always keeps his promises. Actually, that's what Advent is all about. Advent, the beginning of a new church year, is a time of preparation. We are preparing ourselves for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Paul describes God this way. In Romans chapter 15, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." This hope is not a wishful hope. You know, like I would hope that maybe this year the Bears will go to the Super Bowl and win. Or I even have a better hope that maybe next year the Cubs would win the World Series. So I have this hope, but it's not 100% guarantee. The color of the season, however, reminds us, this blue reminds us of hope. And we need to remember that. It is because when God uses the word hope, it's not in connection to the Bears nor the Cubs, but it is to his promise. And his promise is 100% certain. So when Christ says he's coming again, this is 100% certain. This is why the Advent color is blue. Now, I will admit with my analogy, the Bears' colors are not blue, but there is a Cubby blue, but it still doesn't fit. Yeah, we can wish, but when God gives his promise, it is 100% certain. Since we are certain, and by faith we are certain, we need to prepare ourselves because Christ is coming. You see, sometimes we live our lives with almost like some futuristic hopefulness. Will it really come? Will the Cubs ever win the World Series? With Christ, it is 100% certain. So we need to prepare. I'm not buying stuff for my Bears Super Bowl party. I don't need to prepare for that, at least not yet. But I need to start preparing for Christ's coming. Why? Because we don't know the time, we don't know the place, but we do know it is coming. And since we are certain, we need to do that preparation of ourselves during this time of Advent, when the color changes. to blue. The glory in excelsis is omitted. And Advent is a time of reflection and repentance, because this is how we prepare ourselves for the coming King. Now, there is another reason besides God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, approach to why Jesus needs to be the Son of David. The other reason for tonight is that Christ, as our text notes, will rule his people as David ruled. Noting that King David had a very exceptional heart. His heart was toward God and toward the people. He cared for God and he cared for the people entrusted to him by God. During the reign of King David, the people of Israel grew to their greatest extent under David's leadership by God's grace. The Bible does indeed note that David was not the perfect king. He was a good king, but not a perfect king. Our text for tonight notes that the coming Christ will lead and rule his people wisely and mercifully. When he rules, there will be peace, and all nations will come to him. You see, Christ, unlike David, is the perfect king. From tonight's text, especially 6 and 7, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." So as the people of Israel were greatly blessed under King David's leadership, so much more will we be blessed when Christ comes again. But here's the problem. Are we ready yet to be ruled under the authority of Christ? And the reason why I need to ask that question, especially in today's world, is we live in a world, in a time where voting out the current leadership seems to be the trend. People are seeming to be more dissatisfied with the current system. During these times, I'm almost reminded of the Winston Churchill quote about democracy. He says, "Many forms of government have been tried and will be tried in this world of sin and woe. No one pretends that democracy is perfect or all-wise. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except all those other forms that have been tried from time to time." It begs the question, does our quest for our independence from any monarchy and a desire for a perfect democracy get in the way of our preparation for Christ's return? Some have speculated that the perfect form of government is that of a benevolent monarchy, where the king rules, no one can kick him out, but he rules with a heart for a people. Would this be appealing to you? Or would you sit there and say, "No, I want to move to where a democracy is"? Well, before you start moving, let me finish. If you can get to this point of the benevolent monarchy, then I think you're ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the return of the King. Because that is exactly what our text is about. The promise of God is that Christ will return. He will return as the Son of David. He will return as ruler of the nations. We won't vote him in. We can't vote him out. And he truly does have love for all people. He is merciful, forgiving, loving. Christ's return is to bring eternal peace but as himself, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So are we ready for his return? Are we ready to be placed under his obedience and to follow his rule? Are you ready to do that now? Ask yourselves these questions. Currently, do you respect the current authority? You've got to remind ourselves that the scriptures do talk about how Christ does indeed establish the government for our protection. Do you follow Christ's commandments? How well do you follow them? Is there perfect obedience? If we're truly honest, we have to sit there and realize we're not ready. We need help. We need a Savior. So let me pick up a hymn stanza from the Lutheran service book, stanza 3 of hymn number 718 from the hymn Jesus, Lead Thou On, which says, when we seek relief from a long-felt grief, when temptation comes alluring, make us patient and enduring. Show us that bright shore where we weep no more. This hymn stanza notes for us tonight that our preparation for Christ's return, in the midst of our own disobedience and sin, in the midst of our own grief, the answer is, to the hymn writer, show us the blessed end. Show us where we will weep no more, that bright shore. Show us and give us a glimpse of what the end will be like. That hymn writer was correct. During this time of Advent, we look forward to a coming that is still yet to come, Christ's second return. We do that in preparation of celebrating Christmas, his first return. So yes, there's a strong emphasis there in the coming of Christ. And as we see Christ as a little baby in that manger, we see Christ coming again as that King, ushering in to a new heaven and a new earth. And as we are certain that Christ is going to come again, that gives us hope. Not a wishful hope, but a certain hope that should give us the strength we need to face the days ahead, to be reminded of the sins forgiven because of our disobedience, and to look forward with joy and peace the way that only Christ can give. So this is how it ends. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.